When Glenn Miller was hired at Penn last year, he had come to Penn from Brown. He talked about trying to get up the ladder in Ivy League basketball, a league that's been so historically dominated by two teams, Penn and Princeton. As you come into the one team in the league that hasn't won the title, how much do you know about the Ivy League and about what it's taken for schools to knock Penn and Princeton off over the years?
Well, I've always known how competitive the Ivy League has been, and it's always been a league that's very highly thought of, obviously in the academic arena, but certainly on the basketball floor. I think when you talk about Penn and Princeton, have had a tremendous amount of success in the league and in postseason play, and so recognizing that, you know, we haven't been able to enjoy that success was something that, very honestly, was an attraction. We feel like there's great potential and possibilities, and you've had great coaches in this league, you've had some terrific players and terrific teams, and we're hoping that Harvard, we can put ourselves in that company one day, and one day sooner than later.
Coach, how much did it factor into the fact that your wife is part of the package here at Harvard?
Well, I don't know that she's a part of the package. I don't know what that means. But my wife is not, she's not working here at Harvard as of.
My understanding is that there's a possibility that she might be hired into the position in the future.
Well, she's going to explore different opportunities, I think, in this whole area. And if anybody was smart, they would hire her based on what she's done in her credentials. So I know she's looking at a number of different things, and hopefully, you know, Harvard can be included in that mix, but I don't know that that's the case.
There was a story in the Boston Globe recently about the fact that there are not enough African-American coaches or even African-Americans who have been hired into significant positions here at Harvard. How do you respond to that?
Well, I feel, to be very honest, that there are a number of programs and schools. I think I will be, if I'm not mistaken, the third African-American basketball coach. I'd be willing to bet that there are a ton of schools that haven't had that many on their campus coaching a major sport like that. So, we've here at Harvard, we have shown that we've been able to hire a number of different candidates across the board of color and all the other characteristics that you want to think of. So I think this has always been an environment, this area and this campus that has stood for diversity, and I'm certainly proud to be a part of it at this juncture.
I heard you speaking with the admissions officer a moment ago, which for any Ivy League coach is probably a good sign because of the differences in recruiting in the Ivy League as opposed to some of the other conferences, certainly the BCS conferences. You've done it in the Big East, in the ACC, in the Big Ten. Do you see thus far concrete differences in the Ivy League, and if so?
Well, I mean, it's obvious that the Ivies are going to attract some of the brighter kids in the country that happen to be good basketball players, and I'm excited about that combination. I mean, I'm excited about having the chance to present, the Harvard brand to some of the brightest and the best kids, with those two things going for them, being sharp academic kids that are looking for a top level education, but also are kids that are outstanding players. And so I think with that combination and what we feel we have to present to them with our brand, I'm excited about the possibilities that could bring.
Have you given any thought yet to assistants, and if so, have you given any thought to perhaps having someone on your bench who's either played or coached in the league before?
I'm looking at everything. Have not honed in or made any decisions based on that yet, but I do think all possibilities are open, and I'm looking forward to assembling a staff, because I think that's going to be a critical piece to the puzzle as we try to move forward.
All right, guys, we're going to try to get.
You've kind of been two leagues here. You're in the Ivy League, but there's kind of like an informal New England league. You're going to be playing Holy Cross, BU. They almost take on league emphasis when you're playing.
Yeah, those. And those are obviously a terrific teams. With Ralph Willard at Holy Cross, I have a great deal of respect for Ralph and what he's done. I mean, he's a tremendous coach and had a great deal of success. And certainly with Dennis Wolf at BU, and what a job he's done here for a number of years, and I consider him a friend. So I just think that those kinds of games for us, and any game we play, it's going to be a difficult challenge for us. I think we know that, given kind of what our program has endured in the past. So hopefully that we can, we're trying to climb the ladder with it right now. And,
do you want to play BC? Frank in the last couple years did not.
I'm probably not well schooled enough to answer that question. I do know Al.
Yeah,
and you know, he's terrific.
Al was delighted too. I talked to him yesterday.
He's a good man. He's a good man, and I was thinking about, you know, giving him a shout just to see how he's doing up here, and maybe he can, you know.
He's playing basketball right now.
Yeah, that's what he does, right? All the time. That's exactly. You know that. That's right. Like, you know. You know.
I want to see that.
You know. No. Trust me.
We have our own new time.
Yeah. And I won't be in that league either. My days are done. Trust me. But no, Al. That's right. He does. He plays. And but I don't know. I mean, Al's boy. I mean, they've been awesome. And he's had a heck of a run here. And I know he's going to continue.
Is there a certain kind of schedule you want to play, scheduling more top-tier teams, scheduling fewer top-tier teams?
You know, it would be helpful for me to kind of get a grasp of how things have been done in terms of scheduling and what's been done and some of the reasons why. I don't come in here having all the answers. I'm looking for guidance and to lean on certain people to kind of direct me in certain areas to kind of figure things out and hopefully get my feet on the ground in all those areas, such as scheduling and what's important and what has worked and maybe some of the things that haven't worked for, I'm sure, various reasons.
Coach, you obviously left Seton Hall because of the fact that you went to a bigger program.
Yes.
What happened at Michigan? Was it the fact that you just didn't get the recruits you wanted? You weren't able to finish some of the games?
Well, happened? I don't think anything happened that, you know, was not quote-unquote documented. We didn't make the NCAA tournament. I think that's probably the mode that we were in at the end there, that, you know, we won, I don't know, 22 games, 22, 23, three out of the last 4 years. I mean, I like to think that's a, you know, pretty darn good, you know, stretch there of good basketball in that conference, the Big Ten. So we did some good things, but we didn't crack the NCAA tournament, and I think that's, in a lot of ways, was you know, disappointing for us because that was one of our goals, and but it wasn't a reality, and things didn't materialize for the future there. But you know, that's life in college athletics. I think we've come to know that and understand that. We don't have to agree with it, which I didn't, but we come to understand it, and you make the best of it as if you can, and which is what we've done here, and we've been fortunate to be able to be here and at an opportunity to do these kind of things here at Harvard.
Obviously, the pressure is not on you like it is at a Michigan or even a Seton Hall. So,
make sure Bob knows that.
Are you,
a few years.
Does that give you a different mindset in terms of how you approach the job and how you coach?
You know, honestly, I think most coaches, and I like to include myself in this category, you're so single-minded and focused on the today and now, and you're planning and working for the future. But you know, once the season starts, I mean, you're trying to do the best you can, you know, for each and every game, each and every situation, timeout. So you're focused on competing and trying to win what's right in front of you. And so I'm sure that that will be the case for us. And obviously, you know, no team has been able to go undefeated. So you know, there will be some losses for everybody, but nonetheless, we'll do the best we can and not worry about, you know, the outside things or the future of things. We'll do the best we can today.